program's views, claims, and/or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to join in the conversation here this afternoon. Our telephone lines are open. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call. Toll free, 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this afternoon. And let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer here. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for another opportunity to be on the air today. We do pray that you'd use the program today to be a witness, to be a blessing, to be an encouragement to somebody, that you might use it to point people to Christ and help people to see that it makes sense to believe your word. Father, we just pray that you would bless now and direct the program for your glory today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be on the air. It's good to have survived the polar vortex this past week. It just seems like everybody's going crazy with that, but worrying about this and worrying about that. And I think it's kind of funny. This is when I was younger, I didn't understand the perspective that you can get once you get above your 40s and into your 50s, and you start thinking about things, and you begin seeing cycles in nature a little more than you do when you're younger. And by way of introducing that, when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, we spent 4 years there back in the 1990s. And during that time, we would meet a number of people who were there as contract workers or other ones who were there not native to the islands. And it would always be interesting to see what people thought was the rainy season. And truth of the matter is, it rained all year round in the Samoan Islands. And we were pretty close to the equator. It was very tropical and very humid all year round. And in our minds, the rainy season seemed to be around March, April, May, June timeframe. Well, that was the first several months that we were there. And some friends of ours, they arrived, I think, about July, and they always thought that the rainy season was around July, August, September timeframe. And we talked to other people. It just seemed like it would be a 3 or 4 month that would correspond to the first time you got there. That's because when you first got there, you were in a lot more rain than what you're used to, and as opposed to after you'd been there for a while and you could begin to see that it pretty much rained all year round. A lot of the contract workers were only there for about a year, so they didn't see that. But after being there for several years, you could see the cyclical nature. And I was talking with my dad on Tuesday, that nice global warming day on Tuesday when the mercury was about to drop out of the bottom of the thermometer. And he was telling about different times when it was cold, and we're talking about different things. And remember, this is 2014. The records were, that they set to just in Monday and Tuesday were incredible. We hit 15 below on our thermometer at home. But 20 years prior to that would be 1994, when they set the coldest ever temperature in Northeast Ohio. And then prior to that, in 1974, was when Time Magazine, I believe it was, had an article on the polar vortex claiming that it was heralding the coming ice age. And then prior to that, in 1954, which is before I was born, it was so cold and the weather was so bad that winter that my dad had to borrow a bulldozer from a sawmill that was up the road from where I grew up and actually bulldoze the road open that particular winter. And I'm not sure about 1934, but let's go back to 1914. I was talking with my wife about this one lady that she helped take care of, who was born in 1914 on a farm in Strongsville, and the weather was so cold and the snow was so bad that the midwife couldn't get there, and her father had to help deliver her. And if you've noticed the dates here, Every 20 years, again, I'm not 100% sure what happened in 1934, but this year, back 20 years, 1994, back 20 years, 1974, back 20 years, 1954, and then back 20 years would be 34, and then another 20 years would be 1914. If you notice, there's a cycle of cold, extreme cold weather and everything that we've been getting here in northeastern Ohio. And, you know, that's the way the weather goes. And when you're younger, if you're only 40 years old or 20 years old or 30 years old, you don't see that cycle. And the perspective that that gives you when you think of that cycle of heat and cold, you know, warm years, cold years, and things like that. And the same thing happens, I think, when you look at the Word of God. The longer that you're saved and the longer that you study God's Word, the more you begin to understand things that when you were younger, you didn't quite catch as readily. And sometimes it just takes time. And I'm not trying to say I'm smarter than somebody else, but what I'm trying to say is that if you take the time, as Paul says, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, God will give you insight. In fact, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would come to help us understand the Scriptures. And I guess this is kind of a long introduction to talking about something that if you look in Romans chapter 2, there's an interesting statement down toward the end of the chapter. In Romans chapter 2, starting verse number 28, the Bible, Paul's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." And this is an interesting passage, and I've discussed this with people in the past, and there's been times when I've kind of looked at that, try to figure out what's going on there. But I think after studying the Bible and looking at different things and praying, I think I can get an idea of what's going on here. Paul was a Jew, and he was a Jew by birth. That was his ethnicity. That was his bloodline. He was of the bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of Jacob's son Judah. He was in that bloodline. And when we understand that, or actually, I'm sorry, of Benjamin, I believe, was Paul. But he was a Jew by his bloodline. And you need to understand when you're looking at the Bible talks about Jews who are Jews by bloodline. But the Bible also talks about Jews who are Jews by their spiritual beliefs, their spiritual faith and practice. And a good example of that would be the book of Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite, and she embraced the Jewish religion, and she actually figures into the bloodline of Mary, who gave birth to Christ. So in that respect, she figures into the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she was a Jew not by bloodline, but by religion. That was her faith. And then there's also cultural Jews. And I remember hearing somebody speak not too long ago. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. But he was talking about in Tel Aviv in Israel, being sort of the secular center of Israel, and how even Jews who were atheist or agnostic still embraced much of the Jewish culture, and at various Jewish holy days in Israel, they would actually observe some of these holy days, even though they did not believe the Bible, they did not believe the Torah, they did not even necessarily believe that God existed. So they were culturally, they liked the cultural aspect of Judaism, and of course they were of the bloodline of Jews as well. But what Paul is trying to get us to see here in the larger picture in Romans is that the Jewish people who were called of God. And last week I spoke about this at length, how that the Bible records in Genesis chapter 12, how that God called Abraham and promised to make a great nation of him and his descendants. And that call was carried through, that promise was taken from Abraham and then to his son, not to every one of his sons, and Abraham had several sons, not to Ishmael, and that was the son of Hagar, but to the son of Sarah, and that was Isaac. And then Isaac, of course, had two sons, Jacob and Esau, and the promises of the great nation was transferred to Isaac's son Jacob, not to Esau. And so the 12 tribes of Israel descend from Jacob. And you look at this, and God had a plan for the Jewish people. He placed them in a very unique part of the world. And remember, God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that God orchestrated the layout of that part of the world, what we call the Middle East, so that there would be a land bridge connecting Europe and Asia with Africa, and also an area where you could pass from the Mediterranean Sea over a short area of land to get into the Red Sea and also into the Persian Gulf, so that you could connect with the Indian Ocean and various things. But he put the Jewish people right there. He gave them a promise to a territory of land that runs from the River of Egypt, which there's some debate whether that's the Nile River, or there's actually another river, a brook that's in the Sinai Peninsula that's often called the River of Egypt, and that would go up to the Euphrates, and this is the area that God gave to the Jewish people, and at various times they've controlled portions of that. Probably the greatest portion of that was controlled under the kingdom when Solomon was there as king, and through his control of the land, the occupation of the land, and the filling of the land, and also establishing alliances with the various peoples around, where he literally pretty much controlled that whole area. But the Jewish people were not called merely to possess a land. They were called to be there so that they could represent God to the world. Because remember, the merchant trails coming up, the spice trails out of Arabia, the trails out of Asia and from Europe around through Asia Minor, and trails going down into Egypt and then into Africa, all those trails went through the land that God gave to Israel, to the Jewish people, so that they could represent him to the world. They could be his witness to the world. That's kind of interesting, because the Gospels tell us that as Christians, we're called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But in actuality, in ancient days, all the world pretty much came through Israel to hear about God. And many of the ships in the Mediterranean, of course, following the coastline from Europe down through Asia Minor and through the Middle East and into the north coast of Africa. And all that trade that went through there, from there, knowledge of God was carried throughout the world. You only have to look at the case of the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts, who had traveled up to Jerusalem, and he was returning home where he had bought a copy of the book of Isaiah, and he was reading and learning about that. And also the Queen of Sheba, who heard the fame and the wealth of Solomon and his wisdom, and she came up and she wanted to know more. So the world came to Israel. Not only did they represent God, but the Jewish people are the people that God gave the Word of God to. Our Old Testament scriptures, the entire Old Testament came to the Jewish people. Holy men of old, the Bible says, spake as the Spirit moved them. God opened the mouths of these people, and they said, "Thus saith the Lord." You know, some of the great prophets, Moses and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Malachi and Daniel and all these prophets, they said, "Thus saith the Lord." And some of them spoke it and others recorded it. Some of them recorded them themselves. And then, of course, our New Testament scriptures. as we see with the exception perhaps of Luke, written by Jewish people. And we see Jews who are influential in giving us the Bible. The very first Christians were Jewish people. And in fact, our Savior Jesus Christ was born into a Jewish family, of a Jewish mother, of a Jewish lineage. But then Paul says this here in Romans chapter 2, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly in verse 28, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And what he's talking about here is a Jewish people were called for a special purpose to represent God to the world and to bring the Word of God into the world and to bring the Son of God into the world, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as I said, born in a Jewish family. And he grew up as a Jew. He fulfilled the Jewish customs and he fulfilled the law. And Paul here is writing as a Jew who has found Jesus as his Messiah, and he's saying that there are some Jews who they may have outwardly seemed to be Jewish, but inwardly they're not doing what they should have been doing. If one truly believed the Old Testament scriptures, if one who is outwardly a Jew, if one who is outwardly a Jew truly believed what they read, what they studied, what they learned in the Old Testament scriptures, then they would have embraced Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And so in that respect, those of us who perhaps come from a Gentile background, we have actually become more of a Jew than somebody who comes from a Jewish background. And the case is not that I have become a Jew because I've trusted Christ as my Savior, but in the sense that I have embraced the fulfillment of what Judaism was called to bring into the world, which was the Word of God and then the Son of God, the Messiah, I've embraced Jesus Christ as my Messiah, then I am more faithful to the teachings that the Jewish people brought into the world than somebody today who calls himself a Jew but rejects Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And so in that sense, I am more a Jew, even though I come from a Gentile lineage, than somebody who comes from a Jewish lineage, somebody who has the Jewish bloodline, who rejects what God brought the Jewish people into the world for in the first place, which was to prepare prepare the world to receive the Messiah and to let people know who that Messiah would. Paul fulfilled completely what he was supposed to as a Jew. He really was a complete Jew. Culturally, he was Jewish. Bloodline, he was Jewish. And spiritually, he accepted the Messiah in accordance with the Jewish scriptures, and he became a completed Jew in that sense. Now, let's move on to something else here. In Galatians chapter 3, it says in verse number 26, and he's talking to people who are no longer under the law. They've accepted Christ as their Savior, and he says in Galatians 3, verse 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now he's talking to people who come from a Jewish background and a Gentile background. And he says in verse 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus." Catch what he's saying there. He's saying that in Christ, we're all the same. There's neither Jew nor Greek, and Greek would be synonymous with Gentile there, of course, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. We've been literally baptized into the body of Christ, and as a result, we are something unique. Now, I know there's a lot of messianic congregations around, messianic churches where people from a Jewish background, they call themselves Messianic Jews, and they've embraced Christ as their Savior and all of that. But the fact of the matter is, in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. It may very well be that we have fulfilled in the sense of the law, and that we are more Jewish than somebody of the bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because we've accepted the Word of God, we've accepted the Messiah that the Jewish people were supposed to bring into the world. But the fact of the matter is, we're baptized into one body. First Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit of God, "are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Now, that parallels the language there in Galatians 3, verse 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, where it says here in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we be bond or free, we're one in Christ. Let's talk about put into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, as you study the Scripture and you learn more, I started many years ago a process of reading the Bible a little bit differently than what usually is given. A lot of people say, "Oh, read the Bible through from cover to cover. Start in Genesis and then Exodus and then continue on until finally you end up in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and try to do that in a year." And that is good. I would never discourage somebody from doing that. I think everybody should do that. But I adopted a practice some years ago where I started by reading the book of Genesis. That's the first book of the Bible, the first book of the Old Testament. And then after reading the book of Genesis, I went to the first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew. After the book of Matthew, I went to the second book of the Old Testament, Exodus. After Exodus, I went to the second book of the New Testament, Mark. And then I alternated back and forth. And I have to confess, I've learned a lot reading the Bible this way. I don't worry about whether I get through the entire Bible in a year. You actually read the New Testament more than you do the Old Testament because the numbers of books relative to each other. But the thing that I find fascinating reading the Bible this way is the first time I read through, I read Genesis and then followed by Matthew, I could compare Genesis and Matthew much fresher in my mind, and then Exodus, etc. Well, I just started on Matthew about a week or so ago, and when I finish Matthew, I'm going to be reading Genesis next. And it's kind of neat because I've read every Old Testament book preceded or followed by every New Testament book, and it allows for a great comparison of Scripture with Scripture. It also helps when you get bogged down in the so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so, which can get a little hard to wade through sometimes. But I like going from the Old to the New Testament and compare Scripture with Scripture, and you see these things, and you begin to see the fulfillment of the Jewish people in the New Testament and the promises that are still there. And God still has a plan for the Jewish people. But when you trust Christ as your Savior, you're neither Jew nor Greek. You're neither Jew nor Gentile. You are a child of God. You're a part of the bride of Christ. Now, the bride of Christ is going to be taken out of the world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, last half of both chapters, go into that in detail amongst other places. And the bride of Christ is going to be taken out of the world, caught up. But people of Jewish bloodline are still going to be here. And we don't have time to get into it all today, but many of them are going to trust Christ as their Messiah. And they're going to constitute another group. And in the millennial reign of Christ, there's going to be more than one group there. The bride of Christ, the Jewish saints from the Old Testament era, the Gentile saints from the Old Testament era, those from before the flood, and of course, those that come to Christ during the tribulation period. And then there's going to be the millennial saints. And that gives you a clue about the nations that walk in the light of the New Jerusalem. Well, don't have time to get into all of that today, but study the Bible this year. Make it a point to get into the Word of God and ask God to give you direction and guidance. Why don't you come out and visit us, Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views...